Today is Easter Sunday. He is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. Welcome today as we invite you to listen with us to James bringing his message entitled, Always Look on the Bright Side. Let us now listen to James.
Let us pray together. We thank you for that great truth this morning, our God. And all other truths shared this morning in word, in song, in testimony. But as we turn now to your word, we proclaim again this morning, Christ is risen from the dead. Let your word speak to us. May the Holy Spirit be amongst us. Thank you for the privilege of speaking your word today. As we hear your word, may we receive it gladly and act upon it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Many of you here this morning will have heard of Norman Vincent Peale. He's probably known as the founder of the power of positive thinking. The power of positive thinking. And indeed, we had that by way of introduction this morning in the song, Always Look on the Bright Side. And you sang along well. But is that possible? I want to ask you that this morning, to think about that. Is it possible to always look on the bright side? I was reading about the power of positive thinking and the Reverend Norman Vincent Peale. Yes, he was a minister of religion. If my memory's right, he was a Presbyterian minister. And in reading about him, I read a quote from Reverend Dr. Scott Black, who was reflecting on the power of positive thinking. And he says this, surprisingly, our emphasis on positive thinking in this country, United States of America, does not seem to make us less anxious or less worried. He says, statistics indicate that Americans are the most anxious people on the planet. He goes on to say, they consume over two-thirds of the world's antidepressants. Two-thirds of the world's antidepressants. He says these pills have done wonders for many people, that they reveal something else, something basic. As a society, we think that there is something wrong with us, something that needs to be corrected. And now I quote from Norman Vincent Peale. Any fact facing us is not as important as our attitude towards it, for that determines our success or failure. The way you think about a fact may defeat you before you ever do anything about it. Norman Vincent Peale says, you are overcome by the situation because you think you are. And as I prepared this message this morning, and it's been in the melting pot, if you like, for weeks, as my faithful typist would tell you, this came to me. And I'll repeat it several times this morning. And I want you to think about it. This is what came to me as I mulled over this in recent weeks. We are people of faith. We are people of fact. And we are people of promise. That's what I want to say to you on this Easter Sunday morning. We are people of fact. We are people of faith. We are people of promise. Look at our reading this morning. Firstly, Luke chapter 24, verse 5 says, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Verse 11 of our reading, they did not believe the women. And verse 38 of our reading, he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why does doubt arise in your minds?" I repeat it again, we are people of faith, people of fact, and people of promise. And I want to say to you this morning too, that I thought about what order I put them in. But that's where it rested. Faith, fact, and promise. Now promise comes last, I thought. But should fact come before faith, or should faith come before fact? You can think about that as we go through this morning. Now, yes, we have sung along, some of us, to the song, "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life." But what about the hard stuff of life? I think we've all experienced it. The hard stuff of life. I read this in preparation for the message. When we cover up the hard stuff in our faith to proclaim a gospel centered in happiness and nothing else, we cheat ourselves. You see, this gospel, this good news, is not just all about happiness. Life is not all about happiness. The central message that the Bible goes to great lengths to convey is this: our God is not just the God of the happy, but he's the God of the suffering. He's the God of the sad. He's the God of the lost. He's the God of the sick. He's the God of the confused. And he's the God of the angry. And more. You may like to add to that. Jonathan Head, a professor of psychology at the University of Virginia, wrote a book called The Happiness Hypothesis. And in it, he regularly asked people to think of the best thing that could ever happen to them as individuals. Now, you think about it for a moment. What's the best thing that could ever happen to you as individuals? And he asked them also to think about what was the worst thing that could happen to them as individuals. And in his research, people said the best thing that could happen to them was win the lottery. And I reckon a lot of people would say that. Now, it won't happen to me. I gave up buying lottery tickets and raffle tickets and all that many years ago. So it won't happen to me. But what was the worst thing that people said could happen to them in his research? And they said the worst thing that could happen was that they would become a quadriplegic. The best thing that could happen was to win the lottery, and the worst thing was to become a quadriplegic. But I quote Jonathan Head, "That's what people think, but they are wrong. While the initial rush of winning the lottery is indeed great, and the psychological pain associated with losing control of one's body is enormous, studies have shown that within a year, paraplegics and lottery winners return to their baseline levels of happiness." Return to their baseline levels of happiness. We adapt. Well, the song says, "Always look on the bright side of life." And there is a sense in which we do that this morning on this Resurrection Sunday morning. I've said I want you to think on this morning three things: faith, fact, and promise. And the background or the basis of always looking on the bright side to some extent. This is what Jesus said prior to his death on the cross. And John 16, in the New International Version of the Bible, verse 17 is headed, "The disciples' grief will turn to joy." Listen to verse 20, the last part of the verse, and verse 22. Jesus is speaking. This is what he says. Verse 20, the second part of the verse. "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." And then in verse 22, Jesus again speaking, "So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Fact? Promise? Yes. The New Living Translation says of Romans 12:12, "Rejoice in hope." No, I've left out a word. "Rejoice in confident hope." Jesus said, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you'll rejoice and no one will take away your joy." What is hope? What is hope? Verse 5 of Psalm 42 says, "Hope in God." Hope in God. Hope does not mean cross your fingers, take a lottery ticket. Doesn't mean God might work. It does mean that he will. And biblical hope is not an uncertain desire. It is a confident expectation. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So appropriate here on Easter Sunday morning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 13 to 17. "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." Verse 13. "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin." And this great word in verse 20, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah. 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 "But Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Faith, fact, promise. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, "God loved us and gave us good hope through grace." Grace moved God to send his divine Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for sinners and to rise from the dead. And we celebrate that today. So grace creates gospel, the good news that Christ died for you and me, that he rose the third day, and according to Acts chapter 10, verse 43, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Grace gives hope by creating the gospel. And now to really the key verse for this morning, which Jean read to us, from 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. And Peter here makes the connection between grace, gospel, hope, and the new birth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now let's look at each part of the verse. By God's great mercy. Mercy here is virtually the same as grace. The spring and fountain of our hope is the heart of God, and it is a heart of mercy. Indeed, Peter calls it what? Great mercy. Great mercy. Now, I do turn 70 this year, and I've been in the Salvation Army then for 53 years in August this year. So friends that have been around the Salvation Army that long or longer will know this song. It was a song that I learnt first in the Salvation Army open air meeting. It was one of those great songs to sing in the open air meeting. O wanderer knowing not the smile of Jesus' lovely face, there's mercy still for thee. Fred and I were going to sing it as a duet. We had a practice earlier. But Jan said no. There's mercy still for thee. These are old words. And I sang them up and down this country, really, of Australia, in open air meetings. Ray Heron, Corps Officer, Green Valley. We sang it in the open air meetings. Nico Sumampau, Bill Hutley, James Condon, Chris Witch, George Walker. We went out to Green Valley for our training. This man trained us. Listen to this third verse. Those sins of years rise mountain high and would thy hopes destroy. The Saviour's blood can wash away the stains and bring thee joy. There's mercy still for thee. Indeed, great mercy. Peter goes on to say, we've been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Fact? Yes, I hope. Fact. Look for a moment at that other verse that Jean read, She read verse 3 and verse 23. And Peter writes in verse 23, for you have been born again. Wait a minute. Have you? Hear me? Peter says, you have been born again. Have you? But not to a life that will quickly end, he says. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. Promise? Fact? Requiring some faith. And indeed, then, verse 3, the last part of the verse says, born anew through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 23, born anew through the word of God, the gospel that was preached to you. And the two are one. The two are one. Because the gospel is the message of Christ's death and resurrection for sinners. You can't have a gospel message without a resurrection. And so the resurrection is essential to gospel proclamation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have been born anew. Have you? Where does that come from? You know, when I first came into the Salvation Army, my grandmother, who lived with us, and my mother were not happy. Not happy. My father didn't say anything. But I remember my grandmother saying, well, they're the people that stand down on the street on a Sunday night and tell everybody they're sinners and have to be born again. That's what she said. Well, thank God they did, and I joined them. I was born again. But where does that come from? Well, let me read to you from John chapter 3. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. One dark evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we know that God has sent you to teach us, and your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, remember who he's talking to, a Pharisee, a religious leader. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can only produce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised at what I say. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't explain it, and can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. You know, when I think about being born again, my mind goes to a man called Doug Stewart. His daughter is Colonel Julie Alley. Some of you may remember Doug Stewart. And when Jan and I were stationed in Mackay, 1977 to 81, before most of you were born, we had a crusade. In the day, we used to still have crusades. It was held in the headquarters of the Sugar Corporation across the road from the Salvation Army Hall. And George Godkin came as the evangelist. Some of you will remember him. Remember him, Ray? I'm picking on you this morning, Ray, but when I first got saved at the Salvation Army, George Godkin was the divisional commander of the Salvation Army Goulburn Division, right? And we invited him to come and to do this crusade. And Doug Stewart was the soloist. And he sang this song, Born Again. The words say this, you may think it's foolish what I'm going to say. I'm not ashamed, no, not ashamed. One day I prayed, Jesus, take my sin away. And that's when I was born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm so glad that I've been born again. He sang it every night of the crusade. And people got born again. People were born again. Born again, born anew to a living hope. You must be born again. That's a fact. That's a fact. Well, in closing, always look on the bright side. I'll leave it with you to think about. But I want to tell you this morning, there is hope, there is love, there is grace, there is new birth, and it all is because of the resurrection which we celebrate as the people of God on this Easter Sunday. And the final scripture I leave with you this morning are the words of Jesus from John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. These are the words of Jesus. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he asked the question in the last part of verse 26. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Will you pray with me, please? We thank you, our God and Father, this morning, that you are the Father of great mercy. We can be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and for that we are thankful. We are thankful for great mercy, for new birth, for a living hope. We say thanks. Now, we're going to sit quietly. We're not going to sing anything. Not at this point of time. And I go back to John chapter 3. You must be born again. And I believe God has spoken to me early hours of this morning and said someone is going to be born again in this Sunday morning meeting here at the Salvation Army at Caloundra on this Easter Sunday morning. Someone is going to be born again. And I am going to ask the Holy Spirit of God to come and for the wind to blow wherever it pleases on this congregation this morning. In the song Born Again, the line says, one day I prayed, Jesus, take my sins away, and that's when I was born again. And there is someone here this morning, there may be more than one person, who wants to pray that prayer, Jesus, take my sins away and allow me to be born again to a new life. So, Holy Spirit, come now as we sit quietly in your presence, and may the wind of your Holy Spirit blow where it will on this congregation this morning. Causing new birth, bringing death to life, bring darkness to light. Holy Spirit of God, have your way, do your work. Now, There are some visitors here this morning, but for people who normally hear on a Sunday morning, you would know that the person who stands here often gives an invitation for people to come and kneel at the cross, at the mercy seat as this prepared place of prayer, or to come and stand here. But I'm not going to do that this morning. Yes, there is a right time for that. But then sometimes that's a barrier to some people. And I understand that. I understand why we do it, but I understand why it can be a barrier. But I am going to ask, and I'm not going to ask anything else of you this morning except this. So please, I'm not into deceiving you or that. I'm just going to ask, if you want to be born again this morning, and if you want to pray to Jesus to take your sin away and to receive from him the new life that he offers by his great mercy and by his resurrection, all I'm going to ask you to do is stand where you are, and if everyone else would keep their eyes closed, I just want you to stand where you are, and I'm going to pray for you, not by name, but I'll offer a prayer for everybody that stands this morning. If you want to be born again this morning, please stand now. God bless those who are standing. Is there anyone else who wants to stand this morning to be born again? Father God, thank you for these people who are standing before you. I pray that by your Holy Spirit they will experience new birth. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit and by your great mercy that you will take away their sins, and that they will walk out of here this morning knowing that they are born again, all because of Calvary and all because of the resurrection of Jesus. Fill them with hope. Fill them with love. Fill them with new life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Please be seated. Father, thank you. Thank you for new birth through the resurrection this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to know more, our services are on Sunday morning at the Caloundra Salvation Army, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain, at 10 o'clock. Thank you, and God bless.